I really like to drive. I can remember I could hardly wait for my 16th birthday, get the driver's license. Even as a kid, you know, as I'd ride my bike around, I often wished, you know, I wish I could have a steering wheel. So as I rode my bike, I could pretend I was driving a car. Even in like second or third grade, I had a wagon, you know, those red wagons. And on the driveway, there was a hill. And I'd hop in that wagon and go down the hill, and I'd steer that wagon pretending like I was a race car driver. And it was just a lot of fun. And, you know, one day then I had what I thought was a brilliant idea. You know, why not put an engine on that wagon, and I could have like a little miniature car that I could drive around the neighborhood in? Well, I told a friend of mine who was obviously much older and much wiser than myself. He said, "No, that's impossible. That's impractical. That doesn't seem right. You don't put an engine on a wagon." And he was right, of course. But you know, as we look at some of Jesus' teachings, and we're going to spend the next 4 weeks looking at a few teachings that just don't seem right. We can read them and we say, wow, is that really what he means? And this morning we're going to look at one from, we just heard from Matthew chapter 5, love your enemies. Jesus says we are to love our enemies. Enemies, those are those people we detest. Those are those people that we just, you know, we can't stand them, they can't stand us. We don't like them. Nonetheless, love them. But yet Jesus here is plain as day as he's teaching, as he's preaching the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. It's the right after the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. Here it is in verse 43, you know, love your enemies. Not an easy thing, is it? Well, this morning I want to take a look at, we'll see a few parallels, if you will. Some parallels between, you know, trying to stick that engine on a wagon and the parallel of Jesus' teaching of love your enemies. And the first parallel, the first thing they have in common is that they are both more difficult. It's much harder than it sounds. Yeah, it sounds really easy. Okay, got this engine. Let's just throw it on the wagon, stick it on there, hook it up, attach it, and off you go. It sounds like, I thought it would be a pretty easy thing to do, but it wasn't. And then we look at the Christian life, and we think, well, that's not all that difficult to be a Christian, is it? I mean, what is the Christian life anyway, according to people? You know, we go to church. We get involved in a Bible study, you know, maybe Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights, somewhere along the line, and we read our Bibles. You know, we have a Bible. We do maybe a daily devotion every day. We read from that Bible, and we might even have a catechism that we look at once in a while and read from the catechism. And we, as Christians, are taught, you know, you lead a good life, right? You want to shine that light of Christ to one another. So you try and do what's right. You try and live a good life. You try and obey Jesus' teachings. And today that teaching is love your enemies. But that's not always as easy as it sounds. Is that mean to love your enemies? What does it mean? Does it mean that, okay, we think about that terrorist who blew up a building and there was 10 people inside it and they all perished, and we didn't know those people, but you know, we can certainly say a prayer for that terrorist. God, you know, could you change their heart, you know, help them to be a changed person. And we could do that. Does loving your enemies, does it mean we hear about the thief or the murderer who in South Phoenix kills somebody? Oh, yeah, let's pray for that person. You know, we didn't know anybody that he killed, but we'll pray for that individual that their heart is changed. Is that what it means? Is that what Jesus is really getting at here when he says, love your enemies? Sometimes the concept is a lot easier than the reality. You see, the reality of loving our neighbor is actually loving that person who is spreading bad rumors against you, the person who is hurting your reputation. Or perhaps it's that person at work who, you know, takes credit for the work that you do, but yet they get promoted. Or it's that loving that person who got drunk and killed a family member or a friend of yours. Loving your enemies is loving that person who embezzled all of your IRA funds. It's loving that person who is unlovable, who is tough, who is maybe a friend of yours at one time but now has turned completely against you. Love your enemies. It's a tough thing. It's very difficult to move from that concept, from the, oh yeah, the Christian life, let's love our enemies, but then to actually do it, for it to become reality. Now that's a different ballgame, isn't it? That's a lot different when we know and that person is hurting us, when that enemy is personal. That's when the rubber hits the road, if you will. That's when it becomes very, very difficult. And it is a difficult thing to do, to love your enemies. Well, secondly, then, besides it being harder than it looks, it also gives us a deeper appreciation. As I try to put that engine on that into that wagon and get it to work, of course, I didn't have success. But I could look over in the driveway, and I could see that old Chrysler station wagon that we had, and 95% of the time when you put the key in and turned, it would start, okay? And you could drive down the road. I got a deeper appreciation that somebody took the concept of a car and actually made it a reality, made it work. Well, how about in our lives of loving your enemies? When Jesus says, love your enemies, he's speaking to us from experience, okay? Because he loves his enemies. The scriptures tell us that we in our natural state, in our spiritual state, we not only were dead, but we were actually enemies of God. We were not turned toward him, we were turned toward Satan. We were turned not toward good, but toward evil. And so in our natural, in our human state, we were enemies of God. But he gave us life and he turned us toward him. But yet God loves his enemies. As Jesus was being nailed to the cross, as he hung on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He loves his enemies. And as I struggle to try and love one person who maybe spread a bad rumor about me or talked evil about me or did something that harmed me, I look at Jesus and I can just have a greater appreciation for what he's done for all of mankind, for all the people. You see, Jesus died on the cross not just for me and for you, but he did. But he died for all mankind, for everybody, for the person that lived 2,000 years ago and the person that will live 2,000 years from now and all those in between, for those people who love Jesus and for those people who detest Jesus, for those people who follow Jesus and for those people who do not follow Jesus. The fact is that Jesus loves them and has died for them. We call it universal atonement. The forgiveness, the death, the sacrifice is there for all. But old people, with their free choice, their free will, they choose to reject that gift, to reject the forgiveness, to reject the grace of God, the love of God they have. And so we go through our lives and we see maybe that individual who's not a follower. We see that atheist who seems to get blessed, who has good things happen to them in their life. Why is that? Because God loves and cares for all his creatures, whether they love him or not. He still pours out his blessings upon them. as we look at verse 45, the second part of that verse in our chapter 5 in Matthew, it says, He, God, causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous or the just and on the unjust. You ever notice that? The unjust, they get blessed. The unjust, the unrighteous people, good things happen to them as well. God pours out his blessings upon all because he loves and he cares for everyone in his creation. He loves them as well as he loves you and I. And that gets us to the third point. The observation is the kind of love that God has for us. First of all, the kind of love that God has for us. But then second of all, the kind of love we are to have toward others, even our enemies. So we need a short little Greek lesson today. It's easy, okay? Real easy lesson today in Greek. There's lots of words for love in Greek, okay? You may know eros, storge, phileo, where we get Philadelphia, you know, brotherly love. Well, all those words for love, we only have one in English. So it gets translated as love. Well, here in Matthew 5, Jesus uses the word agape. Agape is the love that God has for mankind. It's not the typical kind of love. It's an undeserving love. It's an unconditional love that God has for all of his creation. It's a perfect love. It's a kind of love that does not matter whether the person loves back. Agape, that love, is not contingent on the person. And so God, whether people love him back or not, continues to agape others. And God wants us, in fact, commands us to agape others, even our enemies, even though they may not love us back, even though they have hurt us. Oh, but Pastor Mark, you don't know what they've done to me. They may have hurt you deep inside. They may have done something terribly tragic. The fact is, we are still called to agape them. We are still called to love them. And it's difficult. It's hard. It's tough to have that perfect, unconditional love when people don't love us back. When we are asked to love in a way that we're not used to loving. Because let's face it, when we love somebody, we want that love returned. And if it's not, we probably get out of that relationship. Think about every relationship that you have. Every relationship. Whether it's a spouse or friends, whatever relationship it is, you get something out of it. Okay? You may enjoy being with that person, or something of joy comes back to you in being in that relationship. But it doesn't have to with agape love. God loves us whether the people love him back or not. It's unconditional. It's undeserved. It's the perfect kind of love. And that's how God loves us. And that's what the kind of love that God wants us to love everybody with, even our enemies. Now, what God is saying is here is Jesus is not saying to be a doormat. He's not saying to say yes to everything and yes to everybody all the time. God doesn't do that for us, does he? I wish he would sometimes, but he doesn't. Everything we ask for of God, he doesn't just automatically give us. He doesn't say yes to everything. Because he knows what's best for us. He knows what ultimately we need. He knows what ultimately will help us and what ultimately will hurt us. And he gives us those things that will help us in the long run. And oftentimes, it's hard for us to see it. It's hard for us to realize that God is omniscient. He knows it all, and he knows what is best for us. It's like you as a parent or grandparent, and your kids ask you for things. If I said yes to all the things my kids asked me for, we'd be bankrupt 10 times over, okay? They're constantly asking for this. Can we have that? Can we have that? No! The answer a lot of times is no. And God tells us no, because he knows what's best for us. Why? Because he agapes us. He loves us. And oh, how difficult it is, but he wants us to agape other people, or even our enemies. Now, as you can imagine, I didn't get that engine put on my wagon. I tried for a while. But folks, this side of heaven, we may not, in fact, I would venture to guess, we really, truly, truly, when we get down to it, we probably can't really agape our enemies. We can't really, truly, truly love them unconditionally and unmercifully as God has loved us. But that doesn't mean we're not supposed to try. And that doesn't mean that God stops loving us. He wants us to try. He wants us to agape everybody, even our enemies. And yes, as I woke up this morning, I thought, I blew it again yesterday. Messed up. I didn't love my enemies as I should. Didn't agape them. But God says, I still agape you. God still agapes you, loves you, even though we mess up, even though we're not always agaping one another. Thanks be to God for that. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love for us. And now, Lord, you tell us to love one another. Lord, that's difficult. It is so hard to do, but you give us your Holy Spirit to help us and guide us and to give us the strength to do so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.